All right, so continuing on Chesapeake on the bays, four lines from the end, the narrow lines, or the narrowest lines. Okay. What does it mean? The Pasuk says this should be the Torah, the rules for the Mitzvah. Now, this is actually the only place in Chumash where it calls a person Mitzvah a Mitzvah. Usually the word for it in Chumash is Tzorua. Usually the word for it in Chumash is Tzorua. You have the word Mitzvah in other places in Tanakh. But in Chumash, the word is usually tzorua, and here instead it says mitzorah. Therefore, shlokish. Well, there's some shlokish dashings. It means it teaches us zois tiyatoros shall moti shem ra. The word mitzorah is short for moti shem ra. These will be the rules. This is the regulations for moti shem ra. That is where the Gemara is going to later on. I'm just dying. I'm going to talk about the connection, a bit further about the connection between lashon hara and tzaras, which we already had, but here we see it in the word mitzorah itself. But Amar Rish Lakish, also Rish Lakish says in this connection, my dechtiv, what is the meaning of a pasuk in Kohelet? Im yishoy hanachash boy lochash, if the snake will bite without a charm, the ein yisruin, meaning like without a snake charmer available to charm it, the ein yisruin labala loshen, and there's no advantage to the one who had, there's no advantage to the master of the tongue. So the simple meaning of the pasuk mafoshim explain is something like if you have somebody who could have used his tongue and his word to charm the snake and then tame it, and instead he didn't, and it bit somebody, like what good is that guy if he didn't use his talents? But what does the pasuk mean? Lo osid lover miskabt his kolachayas uvoris yezol nachash. In the future, all the animals are going to gather to the snake to talk with it. But omris, and they say, what do you think you're doing? Ari doris vaochol. A lion kills its prey and then eats it. A wolf rips up its prey and then takes it back to its lair and eats it. In other words, they eat because they hunt and they kill and they eat because they need it. After mano, yeah, they show that. After mano, yeshlocha, you snake, when you kill people, what advantage are you getting out of it? Or Malahem, the snake answers, v'chimah yistu in the bala loshen, and you could ask the same thing about somebody who uses his tongue, loshen hara. What hana is he getting from it? I don't know, the snake is an appropriate punishment for such a person, basically. But Amrish Lakish, call him a sapper, Lashon Hara, Magdil Avonis Ad L'Shamayim. Anybody who speaks Lashon Hara is enlarging and bringing up Averis all the way up to Shamayim. Some of them, of course, explain it means that he's committing tremendous, terrible Averis that go all the way up to Shamayim. Another explanation is that a person who says Lashon Hara tends to exaggerate the Averis of the person he's speaking about all the way up to Shemayim. And then there's an explanation, the Chabad Chaim says, which is also an explanation that we find in Chassidus, that what it means is, the Rebbe talks about this in the Kodesh Sichos, for example, that we know the famous thing, that words have an effect. What you have the famous story in Hayom Yom, for example, where with the two balabatim with the two balabatim of the Baal Shem Tov, where one of them says, I would rip you up like a fish, and the Baal Shem Tov shows his Talmidim that up the mile, that's actually what was accomplished. Beruchnius is that he ripped him up like a fish. So in other words, the point is that when a person speaks badly about somebody else, he never talks about this in a Ficha, in Chedek Hay in particular, when you talk badly about somebody else, that itself brings out their badness, their Averis, and their inner evil, and brings it out in a more revealed way, and therefore it makes it have more of an effect in the world.
But 1 second, Lashon Hara is not necessarily that they're talking bad about somebody, right?
It doesn't necessarily have to be. That's what Gemara is going to talk about at the bottom of the Amud. But well, it depends, right? I mean, it depends what kind of talk it is. But yeah, in particular, Lashon Hara, the horror means bad, right? So usually it means bad talk that's bad about a person that says something negative about it, right? It doesn't have to be something grossly negative. It could be something a little more subtly negative. That's what Gemara is going to talk about later. That can depend. Actually, I think the Gemara is going to talk about that later. It depends, and or maybe it's not in Ola Sugya, maybe it's someplace else. But you have to be careful sometimes. Mitoch shvacha yata boli de gnusa. You have, for example, you say something nice about somebody, and that causes somebody else who doesn't like him as much to say, oh, he's not really such a good guy after all, because he does X, Y, and Z. So therefore, by you saying this shvach, you've caused a gnai to him. That would be one example. You have also sometimes, for example, things that you can say about somebody where they can be understood as complimentary, they can be understood as derogatory. We're going to have an example of that at the bottom of the other. Yeah. Fine. So that's, so again, that's another meaning of Magdil Avonis Ad L'Shamayim, is that he enlarges this person's Averis. Like before that they were hidden, and now, before that they were hidden, now they have a certain greater reality in the world because of what this guy said. Yeah. Shinema, the pasuk says Shatu Bashamayim Piem, they place their mouth in the heavens, or the Shonim Tihalach Ba'aret, and their tongue walks around on the ground, speaking Lashon Hara. Amr of Chista Amamar, proclam a Sapa, Lashon Hara Roy Lasoikle Be'evan. Somebody who speaks Lashon Hara deserves to be stoned with stones. One idea is, the Mephoshim say, why Dafka Skila is because a stone is a doyman, it's inanimate, it doesn't speak, and a person who's using his power of speech for Lashon Hara is in a way worse off than a stone. The stone is like greater than him in that sense. And we know that, again, we have that pasuk that we quoted before that uses the word atmis, I will cut off. And you have a pasuk that uses that same shodesh in the context of tivah, you have a pasuk in Eicha, they cut off my life in a pit by Yadu Evan B, and they threw rocks at me. So we see that the word somtu is related to throwing rocks.
This is
Then it's the Jewish people. It's Yumi talking about his own experiences. It's personifying the Jewish people in Galus. Whatever. The point is that we see that the word Samsu is related to throwing rocks. By the way, the Chafetz Chaim brings in this connection that as you can imagine, the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, and he has another Sefer called Shmiras HaLoshen, he gets a huge amount of material from this Gemara. Anyway, he mentions in that connection, you have an interesting thing. You have a story in Shmuel Beis where David, when he's running away from Avshalom and he's leaving Yerushalayim, a guy named Siva comes and says Lashon Hara to him, and David accepts it. And what's the very next thing? Is we have Shimi coming out and cursing David and throwing rocks at him. Shimi, a person from a relative of Shaul, he's the ancestor of Mordechai. Anyway, the point is, it describes him throwing rocks at David. So the Chafetz Chaim says, apparently there is some kind of connection there. David didn't even say Lashon Hara; he only accepted it from Siva, and still, V'omer of Chista, Omer Marufa, Kol Masapa Lashon Hara. Anybody who speaks Lashon Hara, Omer Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Ani Bohu Yecholim Moder Ba'olam. Famous expression, Hashem says, he and I can't live together in this world. And if such a person is pushing the Shechina away from the world. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, the Pasuk that we quoted before, Meloshni Bafes Dereye, the one who slanders his friend in secret, Oiso Atmis, Hashem says, I will cut him off, if we said he's Sarat or Skila. And the Pasuk continues, Gva Einayim Rechav Levav, the one who has proud eyes, and the one who has a wide heart, in other words, who's proud, who has a gaivadik, oiso loy uchol, him I can't stand. So I'll take the oiso loy uchol, don't read the pasuk as if it said, oiso him I can't stand, ela ito loy uchol, with him I can't stand, I can't stay, I can't be around this person. The Then there are those who say that the teaching that Einani Bahuli Cholim Lodur is not talking about Baal Lashon Hara, it's talking about Gasei HaRuach, proud people. Because you mentioned Gvainayim or Rechav Leivav. Okay, I mean, there is a connection. A person often says Lashon Hara when they feel pride over somebody else. Omer of Chitza Omer, we call him a Sapa, Lashon Hara, a person who speaks Lashon Hara. And by the way, a number of the Mephoshim say that some of the things that we're saying over here, like we said before, it's like Kofa Be'ikah or whatever, some of the Mephoshim say, it's not necessarily talking about somebody who maybe, like once in a while, accidentally they say Lashon Hara, we're talking about somebody who's habitual in it.
Here we don't seem to make it.
Some of them, yes, some of them not. Some of the Mephoshim explain that some of the harsher statements we're saying over here are more about a person who's habitually doing it. Obviously, you don't want to start with it because it continues. But yeah. So, Kol HaMasapa, Lashon Hara, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Sar Shav Gehenim, Hashem says to the Malach in charge of Gehenim, Ani Olav Milamayla Va'ata Olav Milamata Nidunenu. I, from above, and you from below, will both work together to judge him and punish him. What do you mean? This is Hashem speaking to the Sar Shav Gehenim. Hashem is saying to the Sar Shav Gehenim, I'll be up above judging him and punishing him, and you'll be from below doing the same thing. We'll work together on this, in other words. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Chisei Giver Shnunim Im Gachle Vesamim. The Pasuk says, the arrows of the mighty warrior are sharpened together with, which refers to Lashon Hara, Im Gachle Vesamim, together with coals of broom. A broom tree is a type of tree, a broom tree, a roisem, is a type of tree where the coals of it remain hot for a very long time. They look cold on the outside, they're still hot on the inside.
So they sharpen the arrows.
So that, in other words, the Pasuk is comparing the sharpened arrows and saying that they go together with Gachle Rasamim, with coals of broom. It's in the same capital as the Pasuk that we quoted before, Mayit Mechol, Mayit Eflach, about the two guards of the tongue. So what does it mean? Ein chetz elolosh. And the word arrows in this pasuk refers only to the tongue of Lashon Hara. Shenema chetz shochet l'shoina mumma diber. As a pasuk in Yumiya, it's a matter of Tisha B'Av morning, compares their tongue speaks untruth, speaks deceitfulness, like a sharpened arrow. So the chetz refers to the arrow. The end giber ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word giber refers to Hashem. Shenem Hashem ka giber yetzeh. As the apostle says, Hashem will come out like a mighty warrior. Gachle resamim hayin of Gehenim. And calls a broom refers to Gehenim. So therefore, in other words, chitzeh, because of the arrows, therefore giber, Hashem, who is the mighty one, works together in gachle resamim, together with the coals of roisim of Gehenim, to punish the person for it. That's what we mean, that Hashem, chitzeh and giber are two different things. It's not the arrows of the mighty man, but rather the arrows are dealt with by the mighty man, meaning Hashem, and by Gachle the summon, the Sire Shogun. Omer of Chama Reb Chanina, Ma Takanoseh Shom Asafre Lashon Hara, how does a person who speaks Lashon Hara, how does he fix up the situation, how does he improve himself? In Talmud Chacham, so if he's a Talmud Chacham, Yasek BaTorah, he should be involved in learning Torah. And the point is, in other words, one of the many explanations on it is that the Gemara tells us in Sota that Torah has the power to protect a person from doing Averis. It's not an automatic thing, of course, especially you have to have a person who's learning Torah. You have to remember who gave the Torah. You can have, for example, somebody like Doeg, for example. Doeg is a famous example to the contrary, the Talmud Chacham, who was also a tremendous Baal Lashon Hara. But that's because the Gemara itself mentions elsewhere that his Torah was only Menasof of Alachot, so it was only superficial. It didn't penetrate. And the Gemara is saying over here that a person should be Oisek BaTorah, and that will fix up the situation. That will make it that that'll fix up what he did wrong by speaking Lashon Hara.
So what's it?
Misafre Lashon Hara.
The person
who spoke Lashon Hara, how does he fix himself up? How does he undo?
Misafre
Lashon Hara. People speak. People who tell over Lashon Hara. One thing is that a number of sforim on this topic, you have the Sfarim Chofetz Chaim, you have much earlier, you have Shari Tshuva from Avinu Yonah talks about this, talks about these inyonim, others, what they talk about is, among others, when it comes to Lashon Hara, you have two aspects of it. You have the aspect Benonim L'Makom, and you have the aspect Benonim L'Chaveret. So we're talking about over here primarily how do you fix up the Benonim L'Makom aspect. The Benonim L'Chaveret aspect, you gotta ask Masila from the guy, and you gotta try to undo what you were talking about, the Benonim L'Makom aspect. If he's a Talmud Chacham, Yasek HaTorah, Shenema, as a positive, Marte Loshen Eitz Chayim, the healing of the tongue is a tree of life. The Ein Loshen of a Loshen Hara, the word Loshen, the word the tongue refers to Loshen Hara, Shenema Chetz Shachot L'Shoinim, as we just mentioned before, about their tongue is a sharpened arrow. The Ein Eitz of a Torah, and Eitz, specifically Eitz Chayim, refers to the Torah. Shenema Eitz Chayim, Hilam HaChazikim, because it says a tree, it's a tree of life for those who hold on to it.
So learning Torah
helps undo some of the effects of the Lashon Hara. The Im Ama Aretz, if he's an Ama Aretz, so he's not capable of learning Torah, what he should do is Yashkol Daito, he should humble himself. Shenema, as that same passage continues, the Selaf Ba Shever Ruach, the one who's been corrupting it, Selaf means like corrupting or twisting or whatever it, Shever Ruach, he should break his spirit, meaning that he should be humble. If he's corrupted his speech by Lashon Hara, then Shever Ruach, he should be humble.
Then Torah doesn't help.
Well, being an Amoritz, he's not really capable of learning Torah, so therefore, instead, what he should be doing is work on being humble, and that will help. So among other things, first of all, it means it'll make it that he's less likely to speak Lashon Hara, because if he doesn't feel superior to other people, he's less likely to speak Lashon Hara, and also it helps undo some of the effects of it. Rav Acha, on the other hand, says, Sipur ein le takana. No, the person spoke Lashon Hara, there's no way of fixing him up. Shekvar korsei David b'ruach ha-kodesh. David already speaks with ruach ha-kodesh and tell him, and says that Hashem has cut him off. Shenema, Yachris Hashem, for tiftei chalakos, as a pasuk says in Tehillim, Hashem will cut off all the smooth lips, Lashem and Aberes Gdolos, the tongue that speaks great things. In other words, the person spoke Lashon Hara, that's it, Yachris is cut off. Midaberes Gdolos means that speaks great things. Well, in context of the pasuk, it means that he's speaking against Hashem. But again, we said before that one thing tends to lead to the other. The pasuk was quoted before. Hashem or Lo Sheneinu Nagbir is the next pasuk after this one. So El Amaka cannot. So in other words, Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina is saying if he's already spoken Lashon Hara, it's too late for him. El Amaka cannot Lashon Hara. Rather, what's the takana that he should not come to speak Lashon Hara in the first place is what we said in Tamar Kachamu Yaskar Torah V'imama Oratu Yashkol Daita Shenem Avaselach Vasheva Ruach. Now, what does it mean that he can never fix it up? I mean, so again, one answer is we're talking about the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro effect of it. It may be irreversible. It may not be reversible because you may have been, you know, where one you know, as the famous expression goes, you know, some government official who was slandered and he said, you know, well, now where do I go to get my reputation back? So there's that. There's also, if a person speaks Lashon Hara, especially if he does it habitually, he may not even know all the people that he's slandered. They may not. So that's what Rabbi Chabot, those kinds of things are what Rabbi Chabot, you know what I mean? That ain't like Takana, that to a certain extent it can't be repaired. Right. Tonet Ve Rabbi Shmo, Kolam Esapa Lashon Hara, Magdil Avonis Kineged Sholosh Averis. The person who speaks Lashon Hara is increasing Averis corresponding to the three great Averis. Averis Kechavim, Gile Arayis, Shvich of Dama. Which, by the way, there's a tshuva from the Rivosh, one of the late Rishonim, who says the Gemara doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, we know, for example, that a Zorah Gilad Aish Shpich HaZamim is Yehoreg Baal Yavar. We're not saying that Lashon Hara is Yehoreg Baal Yavar. Sometimes he says the Chachamim talk about such things, and like they speak about it hyperbolically in order to explain to people how, in order to emphasize how serious an Avera is. But not that it would literally be Yehoreg Baal Yavar. Anyway, so it corresponds to the three Averis. How do we know that? Here we're talking in the Pasuk in Tehillim that we quoted. We mentioned the tongue that speaks great things, the word Gadol. Now you have a connection with Avodah Zarah, in connection with the eagle specifically. Moshe asks Hashem to forgive the Jewish people. He says, please now, this people has committed a great Avera. So we see the word Gadol was used in connection with Avodah Zarah. By Gilead Arayis, you have the pasuk where Yosef says to Potiphar's wife, how could I do this great evil? So we see that he calls Gilead Arayis evil. He calls Gilead Arayis great, a great evil. Yeah. And Shvichas Damim, because God will love him in a say. And by Shvichas Damim, you have when Cain kills Hevel, he says, Hashem, is my Avera too great? Too gadol to be forgiven. So we see that gadol refers to shvichas dam. So therefore, so lashon hara, which is described as lashon haberes gadolus, corresponds to all of those. The question is, I guess that. So the question is, what do you mean gadolus aim at charges? Okay, but the word gadolus is a plural, so maybe it only means two of them. How do you know it corresponds to all three? The answer is, okay, but hey, minayo maska, which one would you exclude? By all three of them, it says gadol. There's no reason to argue that Lashon Hara is more serious or less serious than any one particular of them. So therefore, it's like we had at the beginning of the Masechta, shul and hein b'yavoyer kolam. If they're exactly equally balanced, then you can learn both and you can learn all of them.
Technically, you
could argue three, but you have no way to say that which two. The Marava in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, they used to say the expression, Loshen Trisoi Kotel Trisoi. The Trisoi tongue kills three people. What do you mean the Trisoi tongue? So Rashi describes it means a Rochel. Now you have, there's an Isra of Loshen Hara. Yeah, Rochelus. You have Loshen Hara, which is where Reuven says something bad about Shimon. And then you have Rechivus, which is Reuven says something about Shimon, and then Levi goes and tells Shimon about it. Do you know what Reuven's been saying about you? That's Rechivus. That's Rechivus. So therefore, you have you have a third party. So that's what Rashi says. That's why it's called Loshen Tlisoi. Tosfos gives a different explanation, which is, we said before, earlier on the Omud, we said the mouth has two layers in front of it. It has the teeth and it has the lips. So the tongue is the third one inside two other layers, and therefore it's called Loshen Tlisoi. There's different other explanations, including that, because we're going to say that it involves three people, so that harms three people, so therefore it's called Tlisoi. Koto Tlisoi, it kills three people. Horeg l'masaproi, or l'makabloi, or l'omroi. It kills the one who tells it over, the one who accepts it, and the one who says it. There are different gersois over here, different gersois and different explanations, whether it means, first of all, Rashi says it means literally killing. For example, like this, you have the two people get into a fight because once Reuven finds out what Reuven has been saying about him. So therefore, so Reuben gets upset at Shimon, Reuben gets angry at Shimon and ends up killing him. And then the Goyal Adam of Reuben go and find Levi, who was the one who gave the Rechilus, and kill him because he caused their relative's death. So in that sense, it literally kills the three people. Again, there's different source and there's different explanations. Haggadah Tabach, for example, changes Lo Omri to Lo Omrin Olav, the one about whom it was said. So here is also where you have that sicha in Chelek Hay, where the Rebbe talks about the idea. Why the one who was said about, why should the Lashon Hara harm him? What did he do wrong? And again, the answer is, like before, because it brings out there is something bad in him, but up until now it was concealed, it was latent. And now, by being spoken about, it brings it out more into the world, and therefore now it creates a reality that wasn't there before, and therefore it has a harmful influence on him.
And to say it in that way, if you didn't do any Averis, nobody would talk much Nara about
it. Yeah, I guess in a certain sense, right. But I guess also there's the idea that,
He's responsible in a way.
But the idea is not so much that he's responsible, it's more the fact, like this hit, whatever evil there is in him was not necessarily active in the world, it was latent. And now, by it being spoken about, it becomes more of a reality in the world, even without him knowing about it, basically, because words are powerful. In Hayom Yom, it brings up the Baal Shem Tov used to teach his Talmidim a daily shiur in Gemara and explain it in depth. And when he came to this Gemara, he explained it that it means that the three people are the one who invents the Lashon Hara, the one who listens to it, and the one who tells it over to somebody else. And he explains that we're talking about, when he says kills over here in the Gemara, it means beruchnius, which is even worse than Rashi is mentioning that kills them begashmius, but the Baal Shem Tov explained it also kills them beruchnius, which is in a way even worse. Amr of Chomer Bechmin, and my dechtiv mobis v'chaim b'yad loshin. What does the pasuk mean when it says death and life are in the hand of the tongue? What do you mean in the hand? V'chi yesh yad loshin? Does the tongue have a hand? It means loy maloch. It comes to tell you, my yad mimisa, just like the hand of a person is able to kill somebody else, at loshin mimisa. So also the tongue is able to kill. So in that case, if you're comparing a tongue of Lashon Hara to a hand, you would say a hand can only kill close by. So maybe Lashon Hara is only able to kill somebody who's actually nearby. No, therefore you have the pasuk we quoted before, that their tongue is like a sharpened arrow. An arrow can kill at a distance. Okay, you're going to argue that an arrow can only kill 40 or 50 amas away. So you would say maybe a tongue can only kill somebody who's fairly close by, not somebody who's like in a different country or whatever. Therefore, the pasuk says, as we quoted before, Shatu Vashamayim PM, they place their mouths in the heavens, and their tongue walks around on the earth. In other words, any place that's on the earth and any place that's under the heavens is capable of being affected by somebody's Lashon Hara. So the question is, in that case, that pasuk tells us that it can harm a person anywhere in the world. Why do we need the pasuk that compares a tongue of Lashon Hara to an arrow? An arrow is only 40 or 50 amas. Yeah. The answer is, okay, but if we only have the pasuk, you wouldn't know that Lashon Hara kills. From the pasuk, chet shachot tells you that Lashon Hara can kill, like an arrow can kill. And then Shatu Bashamayim tells you that the reach of it is global. Okay. If you didn't have arrows, you wouldn't know that it's deadly. Okay, so if it says Chet Shachot L'Shonam, Mobis V'Chaim V'Yad Loshon L'Mali, why do we need the first passage that mentions generically that death and life are in the hand of the tongue, where we argue that maybe a hand can only kill right next to the person, so why do we need that passage at all? If we already know that Lashon Hara is deadly from Chet Shachot, and we know that it has a global reach from Shatu B'Shamayim, the answer is V'Chidur Rabba. We need it for what Rabba says. The Amar Rava, the boy Chaim Belishne, if a person wants life, he can accomplish it through what he does with his tongue. The boy Moyes Belishne, if a person wants to die, he can also accomplish it by what he does with his tongue. Meaning Rashi says he can be involved in shtus and nivola and bad speech and whatever. So that's the point. It was Mavis for Chaim, Biyab Lashon. It was not only Lashon Hara. That we know from Shatav HaShemayim and Chayt Shachar. But in general, there are other things. A person can do positive things with a speech, and a person can do negative things with a speech to himself. In other words, even without getting involved with Lashon Hara. The Rambam, for example, actually, you know, you have the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that mentions that Siyog L'Chach Mashtika and Kolamad Gora maybe Chayt. So the Rambam categorizes, the Rambam gives a taxonomy over there. You have like six different kinds of speech. You have speech which is a mitzvah, you have speech which is reshus, you have speech which is harmful, speech which is author, etc., etc. So therefore, that's the point. And what they're saying over here, the Pasuk is telling us, don't think the only kind of harmful speech is Lashon Hara. There's also other kinds, for example, as Rashi says, Divrei Shtus and Mevola, silly things, obscene things, and whatever, that also have a bad effect on a person. So the Yad Lashon and the hand of the tongue. In other words, you shouldn't just think that it's a matter of Lashon Hara. You should realize that your tongue is powerful in other ways as well. Yeah, they're the famous. Yeah, the famous.
Other than Lashon Hara,
that's what we're saying. For example, a person speaks of Divrei Shtus and Mevola, or in the positive sense, a person speaks words of Torah and words of Chesed to another person, etc. You have also the famous story, actually, in the Medrash. Where a peddler comes around sort of Yanai's neighborhood offering who wants to buy life. Everybody's coming and running out for it. Sort of Yanai comes out and says, I want to see what you have to offer. The peddler says, you don't need it. You already know this. So Yanai says, what are you talking about? The guy opens up a sefer tillim and shows it in the pasuk. Miho yisha chofetz chayim. That's where the chofetz chayim got the name of the sefer from, of course. Oyev yamamun. That's sort of the shen chameiros. Chasech amidabem mirma. And Rabbi Yannai says, I knew the Pasuk, I knew Tillim, but you've given me a new dimension of it. I never realized that the Pasuk is telling you. It doesn't just mean a person will gain ruchniyastika life. It means a person can actually gain gashniyastika life from being careful with what he says, with his tongue. And not just Lashon Hara, but also, as Rashi is saying over here, other kinds of improper speech, and being careful.
Saying
nice things about other people in a way that's appropriate, saying nice things to the Bnei Torah, saying words of chesed that will comfort other people, etc. Okay.